In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Today, the church celebrates the feast of Saint Monica. Monica was Saint Augustine's mother. I'm going to be reading from the Confessions of Saint Augustine, Bishop, but before that, I want to talk a little bit about Monica. Saint Monica was born of a Christian family at Tagaste in Africa in the year 331. While still a young maiden, she was married to Patricius. They had children, among whom was Augustine. She poured forth her tears and prayers to God for Augustine's conversion. A model of a virtuous mother, she nourished the faith by her prayers and witnessed to it by her deeds. She died in Ostia in 387. You see, Augustine was a wayward boy. He was not baptized. And so Monica used to weep for Augustine. And we find that Augustine was converted and became a bishop in Africa. So from the Confessions of St. Augustine, Bishop, "The day was now approaching when my mother Monica would depart from this life. Lord, you knew that day, though we did not. She and I happened to be standing by ourselves at a window that overlooked the garden in the courtyard of the house. At the time we were in Ostia on the Tiber River. We had gone there after a long, wearisome journey to get away from the noisy crowd, to rest and to prepare for our sea voyage. I believe that you, Lord, caused all this to happen in your own mysterious way. And so, the two of us, all alone, were enjoying a very pleasant conversation, forgetting the past and pushing on to what is ahead." Remember, he was a big sinner, and he got saved by the blood of Jesus. "We were asking one another in the presence of the truth, for Lord, you are the truth, what it would be like to share eternal life that is enjoyed by the saints, which eye has not seen, nor ear heard, which has not even entered the heart of man. We desired with all our hearts to drink from the streams of your heavenly fountain, the fountain of life. That was the substance of our talk, though not the exact words. But you know, O Lord, that in the course of our conversation that day, the world and its pleasures lost all the attraction for us. My mother said, 'Son, as far as I am concerned, nothing in this life now gives me any pleasure. I do not know why I am still here, since I have no further hopes in the world.'" She got her son converted. "I did have one reason for wanting to live a little longer, to see you, Augustine, become a Catholic Christian before I died. God has lavished his gifts on me in that respect. For I know that you have even renounced earthly happiness to be his servant. So what am I doing here? I do not really remember how I answered her. Shortly within 5 days or thereabouts, she fell sick with a fever. Then one day during the course of her illness, she became unconscious, and for a while she was unaware of her surroundings. My brother and I rushed to her side, but she regained consciousness quickly. She looked at us as we stood there and asked in a puzzled voice, 'Where was I?' We were overwhelmed with grief, but she held her gaze steadily upon us and spoke further, 'Here you shall bury your mother.' I remained silent as I held back my tears. However, my brother haltingly expressed his hope that she might not die in a strange country, but in her own land, since she had an end, would be happier there. When she heard this, her face was filled with anxiety, and she reproached him with a glance because he had entertained such earthly thoughts, in other words, where she was going to be buried. Then she looked at me, Augustine, and spoke, "Look what he is saying." Thereupon she said to both of us, "Bury my body wherever you will. Let not care of it cause you any concern. One thing only I ask you, listen to this, and that you remember me at the altar when you celebrate the Eucharist, the altar of the Lord, wherever you may be." Once our mother had expressed this desire as best she could, she fell asleep as the pain of her illness increased. So Monica is really the evangelist for Augustine. She cried, she prayed, she reproached herself that Augustine would be converted. And Augustine was converted. He was converted by Ambrose, the Bishop of Milan, and he used to go and listen to Ambrose speak of the things of God, and he got him, and he was baptized, became a bishop in Africa of Hippo. I'm looking at the 18th chapter of St. Luke. "And he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not get discouraged." Do you hear that? Always to pray and not get discouraged. So I'm telling you that when discouragement comes in, it just pins a hole in our heart like a balloon has a pin in it. Don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. You must always pray. "Saying, there was in a city a judge who feared not God," didn't fear God, "neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her condition she would weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry out to him day and night, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith upon the earth?" Oh, that's a big question. In other words, the unjust judge gave the woman what she needed, and he was unjust. What about God when we pray and ask him for what we need? He's not an unjust judge. He gave us his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, at Calvary. He gave us Jesus. He said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We are not talking to an unjust judge. We are talking to the Father who created all and who redeems us through the blood of Jesus. But will God find faith upon the earth when Jesus comes back? I tell you, that is a big question. Will he find faith in me when Jesus comes back? Will he find faith in you? I tell you, as you keep on clinging to Jesus because you're desperate like me, he will find faith in us by the grace of the living God. He will find faith in us by the grace of the living God. "And he spoke a parable unto certain people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." Now, come on. How can you trust in yourself if you know who you are? How can you trust in yourself and despise others if you really know who you are? This man had no idea who he was. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Notice, he's praying with himself. His prayer doesn't even reach the ceiling. He's talking to himself. He said, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this publican. I fast twice a week, notice it, Lord, two times a week. I give tithes that all that I possess. And the publican, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. You know, this Pharisee is sad. He had religion, but he had no faith. He didn't know who he was, that he was an unjust person, that he needed the grace of God. He didn't know who he was. He was attracted by the clothes that he wore and by the company that he kept, and he thinks that he's got it all, and all he has nothing because he doesn't know who he is. Do you know who you are? Do you know that you've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? I have. I've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but you know what? We have forgiveness through the blood of Jesus. Who am I? I am wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ. You cannot separate me from Jesus. I am wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ. I cannot say to the Lord, I am not like other men, because I am like everybody else, and I am in need of a Savior. Hallelujah. And a Savior has been granted to me by the Father, and his name is Jesus, as Jesus dies upon the cross out of love for me. I cannot be like the Pharisee. I am like the publican, standing far off, lifting my eyes to heaven and smoting my breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh yes, how many times a day do I say, God, be merciful to me? I couldn't count them. I'm always saying, God, be merciful to me. Why? Because I need his mercy. I need his mercy. One person says, what are you going to do when you die and you see Jesus? And we say, Jesus, your mercy. Your mercy, let me in. Give me your mercy here in heaven. I need your mercy, your great mercy. I'm not going to tell the Lord, oh, look at what I've done. No. I'm not going to tell the Lord what I've done. And anything I've done that's good, he gave me the power to do it. I never did it on my own. You know, we could deceive ourselves and think that because we've done things, we've done them on our own. We feed the poor because Jesus called us to do it. That's why we feed the poor every Saturday in Boston, because Jesus called us to do it. I preach the Word of God on the radio. Why? Because the Holy Spirit inspired me to do it. I do not do this on my own. If I were doing things on my own, I would fall flat on my face. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And which man was justified? It was the publican, because everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and everyone that abases himself shall be exalted. That's the truth. Verse 15 of chapter 18. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. In other words, get these children out of my heart, out of my way. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer the little children to come unto me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Truly, truly, I say to you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. You see, the disciples, you know, the kids were all around. When you go to the Holy Land, the kids are still all around. And they brought infants so that Jesus might bless them. And the disciples said, get away, we're tired. We've been doing this for hours. Get away. And Jesus rebuked them. Why? He says, let the children come to me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Truly, truly, I say to you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter into it. A little child trusts the father and mother. A little child doesn't have to worry about having milk in the evening or having food in the evening. There is a great trust. We need to trust the Lord that he's going to give us everything that we need. We need to trust the Lord that He's going to give us everything that we need. Why? Because He already did on the cross. He gave us forgiveness. He gave us sanctification. He gave us love. He gave us justification. He justified us on the cross by the blood that He shed. Hallelujah. Do you believe it today? Do you believe it today that Jesus, in His mercy, had mercy upon you and me? And not only had mercy, but saved us by the power of His cross. Yes, it is Calvary, that everything happened at Calvary and the empty tomb. Verse 35, chapter 18. And it came to pass that as He was coming near Jericho, a blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked, "What does it mean?" And they told the blind man that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Why did I raise my voice? Because the blind man was blind. He didn't know where Jesus was, so he had to raise his voice. And what does he call? "Have mercy on me, Son of David, have mercy upon me." And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much more, even louder, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Yes, he wanted Jesus to hear him. He wanted Jesus to hear him. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, "What do you want that I do for you?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Receive your sight, your faith hath saved thee." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Remember, Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to bring deliverance to the captive, to bring sight to the blind, yes. He gave sight to the blind man who just wanted Jesus to know he was there. "Have pity on me. Have mercy on me." Jesus came to give sight to the blind and liberty to those who were bruised and to proclaim a year of Jubilee. So all the people, what did they do as the man's eyes were healed? They gave praise unto God. I have seen people's eyes healed. I remember when I was in Arizona, this lady came up to me and I prayed with her, and she was able to see. She went to the end of the room and she could see how many fingers I had up. I'll never forget that. She was healed of blindness. She said to her husband, "Well, I'm going to drive home." Well, you know, I would say, "Wait a minute. Okay, you can see, but let's see what happens in the daylight tomorrow, and you can drive in the daylight first." You see, God opens the eyes of people. He opens the eyes of the blind, and He opens the eyes of the spiritually blind. Are you spiritually blind today? Jesus is the Master. Jesus is the one that wants to open your eyes, your spiritual eyes, so that you would see Him and that you would give your life to Him and that you would be the child that runs into His arms. I don't really care how old you are. As compared to God, you're a baby. Run into the arms of Jesus. Run into the arms of Jesus. He will not reject you. He says, "No one who comes to me will I ever reject, for I have come down from heaven to do the will of the Father, and this is the will of Him who sent me, that I should reject no one who comes unto me." Chapter 19, Jesus in Zacchaeus. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, so He went in and out. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was the chief among the publicans, you know. This is a real sinner. And he was rich. and he sought to see Jesus, but he could not see it for press of the crowd, because he was a little man. He had little stature. He was small, so he couldn't see Jesus. And he ran before and climbed up a sycamore tree to see Jesus, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. I must eat at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, the people, they all murmured jealous, saying that he has gone to the guest of a man that is a sinner. Yes, he's a publican. He's no good. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day salvation has come to your house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. This is so important. The Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. Everyone before Jesus saves us is lost. Everyone is lost. You might have been born of a family that have 9 bishops in the family. You are in need of Jesus Christ and his salvation. Yes, I am in need of Jesus Christ and his salvation, of what he has done for me on the cross, that he shed his blood for me, that he gave himself up for me. We are in need of Jesus. It is so important that we know our need. And when we know our need, we know where to go. We go to Calvary to be washed clean by the blood of Jesus. We go to the empty tomb to rejoice in the power of the resurrection. Oh, yes. This is so important. Zacchaeus was a publican. He was a sinner, and he knew it. But he knew that there was someone greater than his sin, Jesus. Do you know today that there's someone greater than your sin? Do you know today that he came to preach the poor you? He came to heal you in your brokenheartedness. He came to deliver you who are captive. He came to give you sight physically and spiritually. Do you know that he loves you today and that he calls you to himself? Like, do you know that? Do you know that? I'm not talking about do you know it in your head. Do you know it? I know that I know that I know that Jesus came for me. I know that I know that I know that his cross is what I preach. I know that I know that I know that everyone needs to be saved by Jesus, not by Mohammed, not by Buddha, but by Jesus Christ, who is true God and true man. Call upon the name of Jesus today. Ask Jesus to help you today. Ask Jesus to give you grace today. Remember the unjust judge. The unjust judge finally did for the woman what she needed. But we do not serve an unjust judge. We serve a heavenly Father who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, my Lord, your Lord, our Lord. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ by grace. Today, I want to tell you, we are in need. We need $15,000 by the end of this week so that we can pay our bills for July. So please, if these broadcasts are a blessing, I really need to hear from you. You can go to the internet, www.inseason.net, inseason.net, and leave a gift. Or you can write Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. I need to hear from you so we can pay our bills. God has provided, and I believe he will continue to provide. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.